Okay, we're picking up with the new perek, four lines from the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. This is the Eila Megalchin, some very famous perek, because all those who learn Hilchos Avelos, almost all the halachas are going to appear in this perek because of the fact that we're discussing in this Mishnah the idea of the Avelos during the Chol Hamoed and what happens about getting a haircut. So for the point of getting a haircut for the Torah Chol Hamoed, so then the Gemara is going to come and Mishnayos are going to start talking about the halachas of Avelos, which is why major majority of this parak is going to discuss the halachas of Avelos. So just to give a basic background of Avelos, just so we're aware, there's the concept that for the Shiva Krovim, for the Zion Krovim, for a person's father, mother, brother, sister, wife, brother, sister, I think I may have repeated some, but those are the Shiva Krovim. So the child, maybe, I played because I was sister, I think I said twice. Those are the Zion Krovim, which one will have to mourn in a form of Shiva, that you have the 7 days, which it's usher to the most severe degree of Avelos, which are usher to learn Torah, usher to wear shoes, and the like, very, very chamor halachas. Then you have the Shloshim, which is a lesser degree of Avelos, which is easing you out of the morning, but still, you don't get a haircut, and a lot of different halachas which apply during Shloshim we'll get into, and then you have the year, which only applies for a parent. The other, the Zion Krovim, would not apply to. Only for a parent does one have the entire year, which is a covered special relationship that the child has with the parent, that for the entire year, during the 12 months, a person has to keep the Avelos. That is the halachas, basic halachas of Avelos. Again, there's a lot more that's going to be discussed in the following Mishnayos and Gemara. So now our Mishnah is going to list the type of people that are exempt from the Isser of cutting their hair or potentially laundering because of the extenuating circumstances in which they found themselves. And now who are those? Ve'elu Megalchim Amoed. The first question is also, why is it Ve'elu? The Ritva discusses that. What does it say? Ve'elu. It should say Elu. Okay, well, that's the Shiloh. Ve'elu Megalchim Amoed. These are the people that have cut their hair during Chol Amoed. Haba Medias Hayam. Someone is coming from overseas. He was arriving from overseas. We're going to sing the Gemara about this. And he came right before Chag. He was unable to cut his hair before the Yantav began. And that's over here. So therefore, you had no ability to, if you came from a faraway place, people are going to know that you came from far away, and therefore you'd be able to cut it on Chol Hamoed. And what is the heter for these, all these cases over here? Is because at the end of the day, this is going to be something which is Torah Gufo. It's for you yourself, and Torah Hamoed. So that's why, even though it's a malacha, it's going to be mutter generally. However, we're going to see why Chazal, we're going to be machmir about that. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss this. Or you came back from captivity, and obviously you're not able to cut your hair there. Or you left prison, and all these examples, you weren't able to cut your hair, then you'd be allowed to cut it on Chol Hamoed. Someone was excommunicated, who the Chachamim released his ban, is literally his vow. The concept of nidui is a form of a curse that the Chazal, basically the Harabanim, will give you. The Rambam writes 24 things which you can get nidui from. Others, the Ran in the Dharam famous Shita says that no, you can get it for any violation of a persistent, you're just constantly doing it, and Chazal, the Rabban of the town, keep warning you to do it. They'll put you in nidui, which is a type of excommunication where not just a nidui, they're basically cursing you, you should die. So a person who's a nidui has a chiyav to actually keep halachas of Avelos. So he's not allowed to cut his hair, is one of the things. Because they give him a curse, he should die. So that's the type of thing that's what part of the nidui is. And so a person has to keep that. Or a person who had sworn not to make a neder, not to cut his hair, and then he asked to annul his vow. So that would be a lach over here. If he annulled it on Chol Hamoed, then he would be allowed to cut his hair on Chol Hamoed. A Nazir Matzorah Matama Lataro. A Nazir Matzorah who comes from his state of impurity to state of purity, because we know a Nazir Matzorah, they're Tameh. And both those people, not Tameh, Matzorah is Tameh, until the Matzorah cuts his hair, it's part of the process of the Taglachas, of cutting his hair, is part of the process of purifying himself. And a Nazir, we know that also, is somebody who is able to, who also cuts his hair at the end of his period of that, or if he became Tameh also, then he has to cut his hair, and then redo the Nazirah. So maybe those are examples where you would have that. And those are these are examples of people that are laundered. That was first cutting your hair. Now it's laundering during Chol Hamoed, which is generally, again, an isser of laundering during Chol Hamoed. So this is special heterim for these people. Abam Medina Sayam, someone's coming from overseas, or Mebesa Shivya, or from captivity. Bayotzim Beis Asurin, or someone who left prison. All these, or Menuda Shetira Bel Chachamim, or someone who was excommunicated, who the Chachamim released his ban during Chol Hamoed. Then you're allowed to not only cut your hair, but also launder your clothing, both things which are usher for him to do during this period of his, holding his rasha for him to do during the period of his ban, of his nidui. Or again, if someone who had vowed not to do any laundry and or to have enough clothing, and then he annulled the vow, so then he'd be allowed to. Matpachos ha'yadayim, if you have hand towels, which are something which are commonly used and they're constantly becoming dirty, then they require frequent laundering, then it's going to be mutter. We're going to see other examples of this also, is like children's clothing, which also constantly become dirty. That would have a special attainment. Bachos as aparim are barber's cloths, which would protect their clothing, and they're repeatedly washed, and they need to be repeatedly washed, so then if someone needs a haircut of chalmoy, it would be mutter for him to wash these items. And bachos as svag are bath towels. Those are all things which a person is allowed to wash because they're constantly frequently getting dirty. However, there are achronim, there are chashulchan paskin like this, that this is only mutter when you have no other towels available. However, if you have other towels available and they're not going to get ruined, by the fact that you don't necessarily wash them right away, so then you would not be allowed, according to Aruch HaShulchan, to wash them. That is a big chumrah, because then all these examples would really be essentially, at least for most people, you would have enough hand towels. Actually, maybe not. I guess your hand towels could get very dirty. You might even have a heter for that, but that would, according to Aruch HaShulchan, only if you don't have any more to use. Hazavim Hazavos, Vanidos Hayoldos, if you have Zavim Zavos, those are people who are in a state of tumah. Or Nida, those are people who are constantly, the woman who is constantly bleeding, so she needs clean clothing to constantly change herself. Not only that, she also needs a Shiva Nakim, has to make sure she has a state of seven clean days if she's a Zava, so then you definitely need white clothing that are going to be clean, so that would be something which for sure you're allowed to wash your garments for. V'cholol mitumah latara, all those who come from a state of impurity to impurity. Harelim matara, these are permitted to wash themselves on Chol Moed, wash their clothing rather, on Chol Moed. Everyone else is going to be usher. So now the Gemara now points out, Ushar kol adam, my time asur. And what is the issue over here? Why is it usher for them to cut their hair or launder their clothes? As we mentioned already in the introduction to the Mishnah, that this is a malacha, but it's a Torah Chamoed. It's a tikkun aguf. It's a Torah Chamoed. That's going to make you happier if you do it. So why can't you do it on Chamoed? Kedisnan, so because the Gemara is now going to relate, because the Mishnah and Tainis that we had seen earlier, Anshe Mishmar, the people who were in the Mishmar of Anshe Maimad, those were in the Maimad. If you remember the Mishmar and the Maimad, the Mishmar was the Kohan and Levim who were serving in the 24 groups who were divided throughout the course of the year. They were then in Vate Avos, and they were the ones who were actually for that week, if that was their week, to be doing that Voda, and Anshe Maimad were the Israel, the Ma'amadam, who had to literally watch over the Karbanos. And so then you had some who were in Yerushalayim, and those were fasting and laning. We had right in Maaseh Bereishis, they were laning during that period of that week, and they were davening for the korbanos to be accepted. Asur l'saper l'chabes, or asur for them to cut their hair and launder during the week of when they're doing their avoda. During that week, that's asur for them. V'chamishi, on Thursday of their watch, mutar b'nei kavod Shabbos, they're permitted to do these things in honor of kavod Shabbos, because that is getting ready for Shabbos. And then Kol Shekein, if it was on Friday itself, they would be allowed to. V'amar Avrachan Avra Lazar, my time, what's the reason that these people are usher to cut their hair and launder during the week of the Maimed and the week of the Mishmar? Because Kedesh Lichan, so the Mishmar is in Kishin Menuvalim. They're just going to say, oh, I'll just take it when I'm actually in the Maimed. So Rabbanu wants to make sure that the people of the Mishmar and the Maimed would look good before they're coming to the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash and coming to do the Maimed. So therefore, they want to make sure they got a haircut and wear clean clothing and have the fresh linen clothing ready beforehand. Therefore, they said it's usher for them to do it during the week itself. That would be usher. So the Gemara says, "Haranchanami." So too, when it comes to Chol Hamoed, the Isra is Kadesh Shalom Yechanzu L'Regel Kshim L'Valim. That if you know you're allowed to shave and get your haircut and take care of yourself on Chol Hamoed itself, then you're just going to delay it to do it on Chol Hamoed. So therefore, everyone's going to delay it on purpose, and that would be something which is usher, which leads to a very big, extensive discussion about this. Already in Rishonim discussed this already. Is that what if somebody is in a situation where you did take care of what you needed to do, you shaved prior to the Chag, and they were talking about prior to shaving that you'd want to shave again, ready or clean yourself again from your hair. You need to clean yourself. So the Tur quotes Rabbeinu Tam that it's mutter. The Tur himself disagrees, but that is Machlokas Rishonim. The Rav Moshe, I think, I comes out Lakula. Rav Moshe, at least with Shas Chag, I think Rav Moshe's opinion has not been accepted, I don't think, by anybody. Not anybody, but I'm saying Rav Moshe, because again, the Metzias by us, a lot of people shave every single day. So if you shave every day and you're shaving Arab Chag, so you're beautiful, you took care of it, took care of the needs for Chag. But maybe now, the whole Isra not applied to you, so you come to the regular Kshim. You took care of what you need to take care of. Now again, you want to shave again. That is a big Shaila. Most of the poskim, from what I'm aware of, are very makbid about this, that you're not allowed to shave on the Chol Moed, unless, again, a hefsed and you're going to be fired or something like that. But in a general, regular situation, a person is not allowed to shave during Chol Moed. Now the Gemara says, by Rabbi Zera, Abdullah Veda Erev Regal. Let's say someone lost something at Erev Chag, and as a result of this, you didn't have any time to cut your hair before the Chag. You were busy all day. It was something very important, and you needed it. So the Gemara says, Kevan to Anis, do we say that since it was something that he was honest for, he couldn't have prevented it, so then mutar, then it's going to be mutar for him on Chol Moed to take care of it. Odilma, maybe Kevan to Lo Mucha Milsa, since it's not evident to others, Lo, it's not permitted to do it. Because here, when it comes to you going from a far trip, everybody knows you just came. If this is something which is more private in nature, people are just going to think that you waited for Chol Moed and you don't have a heter, and it's going to be Marasai that you're cutting around on Chol Moed. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye wanted to use a raya from the Gemara in Pesachim. To just give a background, we have the people of Baitos. Baitos was what's called a srikin. Srikin were the things that were type of designs that bakers would make in general on their fruits and their challahs, the foods and their challahs and things like that. And matzahs also, they were wanted to make these type of decorations, like a type of stamp or seal that could look nice for the matzahs. However, Chazal said it's aser. Why? Because we're afraid that it's going to become chametz, and the way that it was made is going to lead to a real chashash that it could become chametz. So therefore, the Chachamim said that it's aser. So this Baitos came to the Chachamim and showed that his way of doing it was exactly fine. So they said back to him, the Chachamim responded to Baitos, they said, Yomru kol asrikin asurin. Everyone's going to say all other type of seals and nice designs that you can make on your matzahs are going to be asr. However, srike Baitos mutar, but only his are going to be mutar. Even though he was able to do it, the Chachamim said that people are going to think that it's going to be, they're not going to realize that he was made with a different stamp, and therefore they're going to come to make them themselves. You can't make a one gezerah for just one type of person. So here also, we're afraid that the person who's coming back, no one's going to realize his circumstances. It's not something that's before some. And therefore, it's going to be usher for him to get a haircut. So the Gemara points out, though, but even according to your reasoning, so then, someone who only has one garment, he's allowed to launder that garment because it's going to, after like day two or three, it's going to start smelling up. So then, so it's not necessarily evident to everybody. This is an example of something that's not evident to everybody, and yet we allow him to launder on Chol Moed. Hasam Nami says, no, there also, because the Yom Rukol, why don't we say again, continuing the question, Hasam Nami, Yom Rukol Asrikin Asurin Srikin Baitos Mutar, and that everybody else is, again, why everyone else's matzah is Asur, this one guy's is Mutar, same thing, why over here is it going to be okay if someone has only one garment? So the Gemara says no, because Ha'it Marla, on that ruling of Rabbi Yochanan, we explained, Damar Rabbar Asher Vashi explained to us, Marbar Vashi, that Ezer Mokhiach Alav, that his belt, the way he's wearing his belt, indicates that he only has one, and therefore it is Mokhiach Alav. Everybody knows that he only has one, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. Why is it that he only has one, how is his belt showing it? So some want to say that it just means because it's always attached to, you keep the loop in its place. So then even when you're laundering it, you're going to keep the loop there because you have nowhere else to put your belt. If you had more than one garment, you would take out the belt and put it in your other pants. Since you don't have that, that's over here. Rashi, that's a Rashi not over here, Rashi in other places like that. However, Rashi over here just says that when you have one garment, you would put the belt inside to prevent it from opening while you're doing other things, so that people would look at this and they would see this belt was clearly something which had been there and set and clearly only the one that he has, and therefore they would know he only has one garment. Now the Gemara continues. Ravashi, Master Ravashi says it a little bit different. By Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira had a question. Uman Shavdalo Aveda Erev Aregel. If you have a case of someone who's an Uman, an expert, a skilled person, let's say Rashi gives an example of a barber who has, everybody uses services in Erev Chag, and he lost something Erev Chag, Maus, and he wasn't even there. Came unto Uman, since he is an Uman, and he's the barber, and Erev Chag, all of a sudden he was closed, and Mukha Milsa, everyone knows that he had an onus, because he definitely, on one of the most busiest days of the year, is Erev Chag. So then, obviously, he'd be able to cut his hair, because everyone would know this, and it would be Mukha Milsa, that it should be okay. Oh, maybe it's not as evident as the cases in the Mishnah, so therefore, lo, maybe it's not going to be mutter for him. So the Gemara says in Echanami Teiku that this should be a question that we're not sure about. That what about an Uman, someone who's a barber who was clothed Erev Chag, so everybody should know that he had some sort of onus that he wasn't able to work, would be able to give himself a haircut on Chol Moed. The Gemara leaves it as an unresolved question, which is an interesting machlokas we've shown him later. And we paskin lechor. This should also depend on whether or not we pointed out earlier the malachas and chol moed are deraisa derabanan. If you assume malach and chol moed is deraisa, the safek deraisa lechor pashtus. If you hold it's derabanan, then you can potentially say teiku safek derabanan lekula. But that's not really exactly how it lines up. But in theory, that's really should how it should line up in those rishonim. Okay, now next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah tells us midas hayam, and if someone is allowed to cut their hair during chol moed, one who came from overseas. So the Gemara, Masnisa de lo, okay, Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah does not follow the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Sanim, because we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Abam Yasayam Leik Aleph, someone who came from overseas is not allowed to get his haircut. Then she had such lovers because he left. He didn't have decided to go on his business trip, whatever it was. Nobody told him he has to go. He left voluntarily, so therefore it's not something which is that much of an onus. and therefore he's not allowed to get a haircut on. He's not allowed to go and get a haircut on Chol Hamoed. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava, Lashut, if he originally came just to stop to have to go on a tour somewhere to for pleasure purposes, and he returned to Chol Hamoed, then Devei Kol Aser. Even according to the Chachamim, everyone's going to agree that it's Aser. However, it was Lamazonas, but what if it was for a livelihood? Then it's like a Tzarach Mitzvah. Then he obviously had to go. It was a business trip. He had to go. Devei Kol Mitzvah. Then it was obviously permitted for him to cut his hair because that was a Tzarach Mitzvah, and everybody should agree that he came back. And it's going to be Mucham also that he came back. Everyone knows he wasn't around to get the haircut, so that would be necessary, and he would be allowed to get a haircut. However, so then what about Lo Nechagu Ela Larvecha, to have a Ravach, to just have more profit? He's already making $100,000 a year, but he wants to make $150,000 a year, and he has an opportunity to make this extra $50,000. $100,000 more than enough for him to survive for the year. So what would it be enough for him to to make this extra money, is that considered a Torah mitzvah? Now, that's the shayla. Marmadam negelei ketalash. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to compare this case to someone who's just going on a leisurely trip, and therefore that is going to be ushered him to get erekah. Marmadam negelei mazonos. And then the chachamim are going to be machmir to assume it's like the person is going to for a purpose of livelihood, and therefore it's permitted for him to get a haircut. Meisi ve devakasha on the brisa though. Amar Rabbi says nirein divrei Rabbi Yehuda kshiyatsa shelo b'rishus. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that cutting the hair is usher, it seems to be makes more sense when it comes to shelo b'rishus. It makes more sense when you went on your own volition. You didn't have any reason to go. Nobody made you go. You went voluntarily. When you did go under the authority of others and you had to go, that was you're compelled to leave your house. That's going to be mutar. So now the Gemara says, how is this price to line up? My shalaber shus. Now, what does it mean? We're going to flesh out the kash. It's going to be a little bit long kash here. What does it mean that you went without when you went literally under the auspices of other people, the authority of other people, which Rebbe was talking about? Ilei melashu. You're going to tell me that means just to go around for fun? Then ve'amart derei kol aser. Rava told us that it means everybody says that it's aser. Ve'elam azonos. You're going to tell me that it meant that you're going for your food? Then also amart derei kol mutter. Everyone says that it's mutter. So what exactly is this price talking about? Ella, we have to assume the ratio the price is talking about. Pshita larvecha. That it's talking about the case of profit. And there, Rebbe is telling us again. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, the redactor of the Mishnayos, who was someone much later than Rebbe Yehuda Bar Ilai. He was like 150 years after him. Rebbe Yehuda Bar Ilai was earlier. So he's telling us that Rebbe Yehuda's opinion is a person aser to cut his hair is going to be the correct one. So that's the resha of the brisa. How are we going to continue the seifa though? Ema seifa, the seifa of the brisa tells us, nirin divrei chachamim kshiyatsa brishus, the opinion of the chachamim, that cutting the hair is mutter, appears correct when he went under the authority of others. My brishus, what does it mean under the authority of others? Ilei melemezonos, if you're going to tell me it means that he went for his livelihood, can that really be? Ha'amar divrei kol mutter. Rebbe, you told us that everybody says that it's permitted to cut his hair. Why does Rebbe imply that the chor that there is any machlokas about it? You're going to tell me that it's about a prophet. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi told us that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, the Rabbi Yehuda made more sense in this part of the Reisha. So how could Rabbi tell us conflicting diukim? Do we follow Chachamim or do we follow Rabbi Yehuda Nasi or Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai? So who is it? So therefore, the mashmos of the Brisa seems to be again Soser himself. The first part seems to be like you should follow Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, which is telling us that the case should be usher, and compare it more to the case of where it's not necessary. And the other case seems to be where we should view it more like a mitzvah, where you're making extra money. So the Gemara is bothered by the two diukim over here. So the Gemara says now, Achi Kamar. This is actually what Rebbe then said. Divrei nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda l'Rabbanan. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda appears correct to the Rabbanan kishiyatsa shelo b'rishus when you went by yourself. Mind you, what is considered on your own volition? Why don't you go by yourself? Lashut means that you went to go on a tour trip of a tour for your own pleasure. Shafilu chachamim lo nechagu alav larvecha. For even the chachamim don't dispute Rabbi Yehuda except when it comes to making a bigger profit of lashut. However, when it's coming to just go around for pleasure, modulei, everyone agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that you would be usher. So the chachamim are machmir on this case as well. Everybody's going to be machmir. So therefore, the Gemara is answering the Rebbe is not telling us all halacha. He's not paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in one case and the Chacham in another case, as we originally understood. Rather, Rebbe is telling us that the machlokas is only about in the case of where you're working for more money. That's the only time you'll have machlokas. And the opinion of the Rabbanan appears correct. Rabbi Yehuda kshetzer b'shus when you went for that. My new lemezonos, when you're going for a livelihood, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the Rabbanan that in that case it would be mutter for you to cut your hair. So, Rabbi Yehuda lonecha kalav elaravecha av lemezonos modulo. But when it comes to working for your money, for money that you need, that you need as your main parnasa, that's going to be something which is mutter. So what comes out again? Everybody agrees that it's parnasa, it's going to be mutter, and everybody agrees if it's just for fun and a tour, a trip of a fun vacation trip, that it's going to be usher to cut your hair. The only machlokas is when it's to make more money. That's the machlokas over here. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Shmuel told us, katan, if you have a katan that is Hanolad b'moed mutar legalef b'moed. If he was a newborn, apparently he had enough hair that it was bothersome for him, then you're allowed to cut it on chalamoed if it's bothering him. Obviously, if there's any medical shaylas, then you're allowed to do it anyway. I just want to point out. We're talking about over here just like bothering the kid. Then you can cut his hair. Shein lecha beis zurin galdam izah, because there's no greater prison literally that the fact that he was in the womb and he was unable to cut his hair there. So now that he's born, obviously you'd be allowed to cut his hair. So the Gemara points out b'moed in mikar lo. This implies that the child is born only on Chalamoid, it's mutter to cut his hair. However, beforehand, if he was born before Chalamoid, it's going to be usher to cut his hair on Yontif. So the Gemara says that implication is problematic. Maisi Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas says that that's problematic because we say, Kol Elo She'amrim mutter legalayach b'moed. All those who their Rabbanan said that it's permissible to cut their hair during Chalamoid. So the Gemara says, mutter legalayach b'mei evlo. All those permitted to cut their hair during the days of their mourning. So the halachas are saying that we have a parallel between the halachas of cutting your hair in Chol HaMoed and the parallels during the Shloshim period in which a person is not allowed to cut his hair for one of the Zayin Krovim, as I mentioned before. Those Zayin Krovim, it's usher for you to cut your hair during the Shloshim. So the Gemara says, so ha'asur le'galeach b'moed, we can infer from here that it's usher to cut your hair during Chol HaMoed, asur le'galeach b'me'evilo, that it's going to be usher to cut your hair during the time where you're mourning as well. It seems to be that Habba HaTalia, that they're the same thing. So now the Gemara is going to flesh out the kasha. Vi amar tunei on to next seminar. Yadalam beis. Vi amar katan is be plikta. So you're going to tell me that a katan has a distinction between being before chalamoid and born on chalamoid itself. Ninch is avelos noegin v'katan. That implies that there's a concept of avelos of avelos because we in the case of the brisa is that anybody who it's usher for them to be born to if they were born before that's going to be usher for them to cut on chalamoid should also be usher during avelos. That implies that a katan if he's born before chalamoid it's usher for him to cut on chalamoid itself. That implies there's a concept of avelos when it comes to a katan. V'atanev, but that's not really the case though. Why does a katan have to rend his garments and cut them? Because and tear his garments because of the grief we want to instill. People are going to look at it, they're going to cry, and therefore it's going to give honor and respect to the dead person. And it is mamish lagmas nefesh. If one of the son, if a person ever has to see this, it's one of the saddest things is when the katan is tearing kriya in front of. In front of one of his parents. So again, that's not because the child has any halachas of a velos. So he doesn't have any halachas. So why are we implying over here that you have a velos? So again, it seems to be a kasha on Rava's approach. The Gemara says, "Amar Ravashi, miktani ha'asurin." Did the Braisa actually tell us that those are asur to cut their hair in the chalmoid or asur to cut their hair during the mourning period? It didn't say that. It just said dilma yesh ben asur. It just said that the halachas generally are the same between chalmoid and. Like most people, chalamoid and avilos. However, yishman mutter, there are examples of people who are mutter to usher to cut their hair on chalamoid, but permitted to do so during the avilos, i.e. a child who doesn't have any avilos. So you can't say that there's such an inference from the brisa that's going to negate Shmuel's whole halacha. Sorry, I think it was Shmuel, not Rabba. I just said Rabba before. But Shmuel's halacha is not a kasha from the inference of the brisa, because the brisa is only talking about the case where that there are some examples, a regular standard person has avilos and he has chalamoid. However, when it comes to the katan, that's not a kasha because he doesn't have any avilos in a chanami. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara goes weiter, and the Gemara says now, the Gemara says, Amar, Amemar, Ve'itemar, Rav Ashishet, Reid, Rav Idi, Masne Hachi. That's how they said this halacha. So the Gemara says that, that Amar Shmuel, they said it the following, a little bit different than we had it before. Katan Mutar Legal Chal B'moed. It's permitted to cut the hair of an infant during Chal HaMoed. So Lo Shana Nolad B'moed. It doesn't make no difference whether he was born during Chal HaMoed or Lo Shana Nolad Mikar or if he was born beforehand. So according to this halacha, there is this exact opposite that we have before. So the raya that we have before is going to be a kasha. That's what we're mentioning. It's going to be opposite now. Amar Pinchas, Afanam Etinui. We bring a raya from the brisa. Kol Elu Shamar Mutar Legalayach B'Moed. All those who say it's usher to cut their hair during Chalamoid Mutar Legalayach B'Mei Avelo. So the kasha we had before now is going to be a raya because here the way Shmuel had it, the way this is reported, Shmuel having it is exact opposite as we had it before. Ha'asur and Legalayach B'Moed. From here we can infer that those who are usher to cut their hair during Chalamoid, Asur and Legalayach B'Mei Avelo are usher to cut their hair during. The times in their morning. Yamar katan usher. Now, if you're going to tell me that's usher for an infant born before chalamoy, nimtis avelos. No, I get bekatan, and comes out that a katan has avelos. Vitanya, and we learn makrim with negan was nefesh. There is no concept of avelos, so we want to bring a raya. Again, this whole kasha that we asked in the brisa now is a raya for the brisa because there is no avelos, and therefore there is no problem of cutting the child of air before the infant before chalamoy or after chalamoy. Amar vashi, no. Miktani usher. Does the Mishnah say that there are those who are usher to cut their hair in chalamoy are prohibited to cut their hair during that morning period? No, it only spoke of the permitted category. Dilma. Maybe we're saying that there are those who say that it's usher to cut their hair during chalamoid, or likewise usher to cut their hair during the avilus. V'yeshmen mutter, and there are those who say that it's mutter during that period. Meaning the statement is not a raya for Rav Pinchas and the Braisa, because again, the who says that the katan has these exact parameters. So we see over here that there isn't necessarily a connection. So now the Gemara just points out another. Avil, once we're talking about avilus, avil in noag avilus of a regal, a mourner doesn't have to have himself conduct his mourning during the chag. We know that there's a concept of Of v'samachta mechagah, she never we're about to quote v'samachta mechagah, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and that supersedes his avelos. There's a big machlokas rishonim based on really I think the girsa and the mara in the beginning of Ksubas. What's your girsa there between the Rambam and the Ramban? Whether or not devarim shabbat sinah applies. Even does this mean that even in private he does no avelos whatsoever, or like Shabbos you do have devarim shabbat sinah. You do have private matters. A person is rachman on avelos does have devarim shabbat sinah do apply to him. However, when it comes to chol moed, that's machlokas. When it comes to the Pesach and the Chagim, that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Either way, so the Gemara says now, why is this iavelus to mikaro? So if it's a pre-existing mourning, asi the Rabbi v'dachi asi the achid, the positive commandment to the public. Why is it considered the public? Because Klal Yisrael have to keep it. It's a mitzvah for everybody, not just for you. Therefore, it's public. So therefore, that's going to supersede the personal commandment of the individual to keep his avelus. Where do we know there's a personal commandment? And Zosh Rashi quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which says, "Evel yachid asilach." A person should make avelus for himself. Evel yachid asilach, and therefore Rashi quotes, "Mourn," and mourning is only something for the Zion Krovin. It's personal, and therefore it's not considered a public thing. So that supersedes it. Vi avelus the dehashu. I don't know if it's avelus right now that the person actually the death took place on Chol Moed itself. So the Gemara says, "Lo ase asid yachid v'dach asid rabim." Then the positive commandment of the event of a mourning is not going to come and supersede a mitzvah also which you already are engaging in, which right now is something which you have to keep. So that's going to be something which is not going to be applicable during the time of a person's avelus. So now we have just established that that the simcha of Chol Moed applies to supersedes the mourning of avelus. So is the same thing going to be by someone who's excommunicated because he's that guy we pointed out as similar to case of avelus? What about him? So Gemara now says menude
maush yinog nidoy beregel. What's the halacha if he's going to if they uproot his band during the actual chag itself? Is he allowed to greet others, wear shoes, and also launder his clothing on Chol Moed? That's why it's applicable over here. Is it similarly to the case of avelos? Is it similar that you'd be allowed to, in honor of the Chag, would you be allowed to cut your hair? Amar Rav Yosef Tashmas. Rav Yosef says we can bring a proof from the Braisa, which says Don in Dina Nefashos v'Dina Makos v'Dina Mamonos. So you're allowed to judge cases of Dina Nefashos and cases where you give lashes out. For any like Isser Lav, which is Lav that's not Nitak to Asay, any mitzvah Shayeshpo Maisa, those regular cases we get at an Avera of Malkus and Dine Mamonos on Chol Moed, so that all these cases are things which are going to be mutter to do on Chol Moed. So Gemara says, V'ilo Tzayis Dina, and if the person doesn't listen to the decision of the court, then Misham Tina, like we excommunicate him immediately, even though it's Chol Moed. So the Gemara now points out, now if you're going to assume that you don't conduct yourself with the halachas of this ban during the actual chag itself, so when one is excommunicated from before the chag, and the chag is going to supersede the ban, so then we're going to go out of our way to do something which doesn't apply then, then we're going to excommunicate him. It doesn't make any sense because it's not taking effect anyway till after Chol Moed. So the Gemara says, no, Abai says maybe Amarle, that's not a proof because Amarle Abai, Vidilma. Maybe the Bryce is talking about a case where it was tried on Chol Moed and they were studying the case in Chol Moed, but they didn't give the final verdict until after Chol Moed, and therefore that's not something which was done until after Chol Moed. So Gemara says, "Dilo tevahachi," because if you don't say this reason, "Dina v'fashos dektani wa," which we said in the Braisa, which also mentioned capital cases, "Hachanami dekalinane," is it true that they're going to execute a guilty person during Chol Moed? Could that really be? Yontav, the judges would be prevented from having Simchas Yontav. Why is that? It's not because we learn in a Braisa, which teaches us Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayan, the Sanhedrin, Shehargo Zenefesh, Ein Tomnon Kolosayom. There's halacha that when the Sanhedrin finally convicts the person and they execute the person that day, they're not allowed to eat. Talmud Lomer, Lo Suchla, Adam, don't eat over the blood. There's a lot of judges that the Gemara has. A lot of them, an Isra D'Oraisa. The Meiri learns that the one about Lo Suchla, Adam, Lo Suchla, Acha, that you mispal al dimcha, which is don't eat before Shachris. The Meiri wants to learn that maybe even be a Din D'Oraisa. So Lo Suchla, Adam has a lot of different judges. This is one of them, that you should not eat over the blood, since it's an important aspect of the mitzvah of Simcha is eating, and they're not allowed to eat, so they're obviously you're ruining their Simcha's Yontav on Chol Moed. So Elas or Bias, so therefore we see that Yunei Bedina really means that they're studying the case, but doesn't mean that they're actually paskening. Hachanami here too, in the case, the monetary case, Yunei Bedina, it means that they are studying the case, however, they're not actually paskening the case to execute the Bezerin on Chol Moed. Amrlei, so Rav Yosef responds to Abaye though, Im Ken, if that's the case, that a capital case of Chol Moed, you can't actually give a verdict, but even though you know the case is over,
So Gemara says nimtzit ma'anas dino. The court is delaying the person's justice, which is a lacha that's us. The man and the din is aser. That's one of the lachas of Sanhedrin. You're not allowed to do that. Ella. So the brisa must mean that asu mitzafra amayna medina. It means that they come in the morning and they study the case. Va'ayla va'achla v'shasu kol yom. It must be that that whole time they're allowed to eat and drink. V'hadar asu b'shkia zechamik amrin ladina. Then when shkia comes, really has to be before shkia, because actually the gemara din of dina nefashos has to be before the sunset. It has to be during daytime. And they finalize the decision. V'kadle. Then they're allowed to execute him. So therefore they didn't have to fast at that point because they already ate during the day. And therefore that would be something which is not applicable. So therefore you don't have a raya from there. So now the Gemara challenges Rav Yosef though. Amar Abaye Tashma, we learn another refutation though. Umenuda Sheitira lo Chachamim. And the person without a cut their hair, someone was excommunicated, the Chachamim released him from his ban. So what do we see over here? We see very clearly that in this case, that means excommunicated, release in Yantiv. And we said that mitzvah rejoice in the Chag over supersedes excommunication, contrary to what Yosef wanted to try to argue. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava Miktane Sheitiru Chachamim. Did the Mishnah say that the Chachamim released him, which is the general statement? No, Sheitiru Lo Chachamim Ktane. It says that the Chachamim released him. The Azul Lepaitse Lebaldine, because the excommunicated person went and appeased the person who has his claim against him. And then Vasakami Derbanan Vasharalei. Then Derbanan came before Derbanan and they released him from his din. And therefore the Sheitiru Lo is going, speaking of a particular case where it wasn't actually that they came and removed the excommunication, and this is not going to be a kasha on Rav Yosef. So now that was we've just reflected the question of Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara says Mitzorah, in the case of Mitzorah, Maushian Shiyani Mitzarasa Beregel. What's a lacha during the Chag if he wants to cut his hair as part of the taglachas that a Mitzorah has to do? So the Gemara says, is this going to be also going to case where we're going to override it? So Marabaye Tashma, the Gemara says, Anazir Matzorah Tumasa Lataro, the case of Anazir Matzorah. We see from there, Habimei Tumasa, now the Mishnah is teaching us that during the days of when he's considered Tame, Nagi has to conduct the restrictions of Tara'as. It's not about cutting your hair. That's the Mishnah of the Prevarish. You're allowed to. What Brian Dick Ramir is that you have to, do you keep your Avelos Kilu, the sad part, the fact that you live outside the town, and the things of that nature, do you have to keep that as being a Matzorah? So we see over here that you do have the restrictions of Taras, and therefore we see that the Chag does not supersede his Taras. So Gemara says, no, that's not a Raya, because Lomi Baye Kamar, Lomi Baye Mitumasa de Lonoig. It's not even necessary, meaning the Mishnah is using what's the type of a formulation of the Mishnah is to say, not even this, not even that. Rather, that's not even a question, not even necessary to tell him that in the days of his, when he's Tameh, that he's conducting himself with a restriction of Taras, because in a Chanami, you don't have to even keep that. Lavala Tara, so even where in its purification, Nigzor Shama Yesha Kamarasov, I would have made a decree that he doesn't cut his hair on Chol HaMoed because maybe his delay is offering still the last day of Yom Tov, because we're afraid he's going to lay a Kamash Man, so therefore the Tana is teaching us that we don't make this decree, therefore there's no proof from the Mishnah concerning whether or not the Chag would supersede any form of Taras. Okay, Baz Hashem will pick up with Amar Rava in tomorrow's Daf.